So as Louise mentioned, the title for this day-long is The 10 Questions the Buddha Wouldn't Answer and the Questions that the Buddha Did Answer. So what I foresee is we'll look at the four different ways that the Buddha answered questions. And as well as that, I would like for each of us to reflect on what questions we bring to our practice, what questions motivate our own spiritual journey, and what questions we would ask the Buddha if we had the chance. So what we'll do today is just a little bit of chanting, some periods of sitting and walking meditation, or you could, during those walking periods, take on some mindful household tasks if you're at home. And I'll give a short talk before lunch, and this afternoon I'll give a longer Dharma talk. And lunch will be approximately 12 to 1. So I didn't check this out with our live people, but I wanted to do a little bit of chanting, which you're probably familiar with, but it's all repetitive, so you just catch on. And please join us if you like, from wherever you are in Zoom land. So this is Namo Tassa, and homage to the Buddha. Just join in and kind of follow along. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Dham saranam gacchami, dhammam saranam gacchami, sangham saranam gacchami, dutiyampi buddham saranam gacchami, dutiyampi dhammam saranam gacchami, dutiyampi sangham saranam gacchami, Tatiyampi Buddham Saranam Gacchami. Tatiyampi Dhammam Saranam Gacchami. Tatiyampi Sangham Saranam Gacchami. So that's taking refuge in the Buddha, the Dhamma, and the Sangha. And something else that's often done at the beginning of, say, a day of practice or a period of practice is just to reflect on what are called the five precepts. These are intentions. So five different intentions of basically non-harm. So the intention of not killing or not harming, not stealing, not lying, abstaining from harming through sexuality, and not clouding the mind through the use of drugs or intoxicants. So these are called the five precepts, and these intentions of non-harm in these five areas are five gifts that we can offer to ourselves, and five gifts that we can offer to the world. And it can be very discouraging looking at the news and the problems that are occurring in the world. And I think we can identify that these problems are associated with breaking these precepts. And it seems that the state of the world right now is one where people have often chosen to forget their similarities and overemphasize their differences. So now, just thinking about questions, which is the overall theme of the day. And I'd like to start with a reading from a book called Embers. And the subtitle is One Ojibwe's Meditations. And this is by an Ojibwe author, Richard Wagamese, who passed away a few years ago. And in this reading, it's actually a dialogue. And it seems that between the author and an elder, and it seems like the author, Richard Wagamese, is experiencing doubt in what he's been taught. And so he's gone to this elder, who he refers to as Old Woman, to ask her some questions. So it starts off with me, and when I say me, that would be Richard Wagamese. Me, what if we're wrong? Old woman, wrong about what? Me, all this ceremony, prayer, meditation, what if at the end of it, all there is nothing? Old woman, then we still come out better people. Me, how? Old woman, can you think of a better way to live than in gratitude? Can you think of a better way to be than to be kind, loving, compassionate, respectful, courageous, truthful, and forgiving? Even if we're wrong, can you think of a better way to breathe than through all that? And then the author reflects, I couldn't, I can't, and I continue. So I really like this this passage, this dialogue. And the author, you know, in his doubts, is coming up with all these questions and a type of thinking which is not useful, that proliferation of thoughts. And so he makes a wise choice to go to a wise person to talk about it. And I really like in the old woman's response how she brings him back, seems to me, from his kind of proliferation of thinking back to the present moment. And she also brings him back to the importance of action in the present moment, which action includes thinking, speaking, and actions. And also in her response that she kind of brings back the importance of the qualities that we are cultivating in our lifetime. So I thought her response was really skillful. And if we just kind of take a step back and looking at that interaction, the author comes to her, to Old Woman, with all these questions, and she doesn't directly answer and engage with those questions, but instead she starts to ask him questions as a response. So this makes, I think, the author have to think a little deeper about his own intentions. So this this answering of questions with questions, I think, can be very skillful. So now I'd like to go back say 2600 years to the time when the Buddha was teaching. And a little bit of a similar situation is one of the monks has, this is related in a sutta, in a teaching that the Buddha gave. And one of the monks, whose name is Malankyaputta, has come up to the Buddha, and Malankiyaputta is also experiencing doubts in the Buddha's teachings. And Malankiyaputta asks the Buddha a number of questions, kind of speculative, philosophical type questions. And in addition, Malankiyaputta says, now if you don't answer these questions for me, then I will disrobe, I'll cease being a monk. So how the Buddha responds is by telling a story. He says to Malankiyaputta, he says, imagine that a man has been shot with a poison arrow. And the people who care about this man, this injured man, are very concerned, and they summon a doctor who is a surgeon who can remove the arrow. Now, it seems that our injured man is still conscious because he sees the doctor approaching, and he says, now wait, before you remove that arrow, I need the answer to these questions. And he asks a whole bunch of questions. I need to know, before you take the arrow out, who shot me with the arrow? What clan is this person from? What's the name of the person who shot me, parents and siblings? What village is that person from? What caste is that person from? And in addition, I need to know the answer to the questions about the weapon itself. What kind of arrow was used to shoot me? How was the shaft constructed? How was the tail constructed? How was the point, the tip constructed? What kind of bow was used? And so then the Buddha says to Malankiyaputta, kind of states the obvious. Well, Malankiyaputta, this man is going to die before getting the answer to all these questions. And then the Buddha goes on and says, have I ever said to you, Malankiyaputta, that I would answer all these questions, these types of questions that you ask me? Have I ever made that claim? Have you ever heard me say that? And Malankiyaputta had to admit that no, the Buddha had never said that, made that claim. And then the Buddha said, well, and what I have said that I teach and what I do teach is about suffering and the end of suffering, and specifically about suffering, the cause of suffering, the cessation of suffering, and the path which leads to the cessation of suffering. These are the Four Noble Truths and the Noble Eightfold Path. So that's what I've said I teach, and that's what I do teach. So apparently, Malankiyaputta was happy with the answer and kept being a monk. So set aside his speculative type questions. Yeah, in the actual sutta, it says, so Malankiyaputta, remember, what is undeclared to me as undeclared, and what is declared by me as declared. That is what the Blessed One said, gratified, venerable Malankiyaputta, delighted in the Blessed One's words. So I think Malankiyaputta came around. And I think it's clear what the message is, that there are some areas that the Buddha did not think it was productive to spend our time thinking about, and some questions are valid and important, in the path to the end of suffering, and some questions are not. So I think that's enough for now, as the I'd like to kind of just sit now until, say, 10 o'clock, and when we sit, we can just, you know, let go of these words that I've just been talking about, and be with our bodies and with our breath. So I'll just go through the body, maybe just so we can arrive and be with our bodies. Just settle in and notice sitting here, notice our posture. Notice where we're touching the chair or the mat, our legs or our seat. Notice the heat or the coolness we might feel. And just to bring us back to the body, I'll just go through the body, and you can just notice different parts, starting at the top, at the crown of the head. Just identify that area and notice any sensations we feel. And notice if there's any tension, we can, as best we can, release that tension. And then notice the eyes and the muscles around the eyes. Releasing any tension. Noticing this area. Any sensations we might feel. And coming down around the nose, mouth, area of the face. Just relaxing. And notice the rest of the head, the back of the head, the sides. Again, notice any sensation. Heat, coolness. Any tension we might feel. Relaxing. And noticing the throat area. Again, relaxing if possible. Noticing the shoulders. In the upper arms. Forearms. And the hands. Notice any temperature, hot, cold. Any other sensations, vibration? Just relaxing this area as well. We'll bring in, include the front of the chest area, heart area, solar plexus. The abdomen. Noticing sensation, noticing any tension, relaxing. And bring our attention to the back and include the back of the neck as well, shoulder area. Shoulder blades. The back of the torso. Noticing sensations. Heat, coolness, any other sensations or vibrations. Just relaxing this area as well. Move the attention down to the buttocks area, the pelvic area, and noticing any sensations. Relaxing as much as we can. Moving the attention down to the upper legs, the thighs. Noticing this area of the body. Relaxing. Moving down to include the knees and the calves, noticing this area, heatness, coolness, sensations of the skin. And relaxing. And then noticing the feet, top of the feet, the soles, the toes, the ankles. Noticing any sensations in this part. The body, relaxing as we can. Now just return our attention to our posture in general. And that the lower part of our body is really connected with the earth, is sinking, touching the earth, grounded. then the spine is upright, rising out of the earth. It is relaxed yet upright. And then the head, as if suspended from a string, pulling gently up at the crown of the head, which would just tuck the chin in slightly as we sit. So the upper part of the body is rising, connected to heaven, at the same as the lower part of the body is connected to the earth. So in our sitting posture, we're relaxed, yet alert. And this helps our mind to be relaxed and alert. Then we can turn our attention to our breath, our breathing. First, just noticing our breathing. So noticing when we're taking an in-breath. Noticing when we are breathing out. Just trying to follow the breath all the way through the in-breath and the out-breath and the transition between the two. If it's useful, you can choose one part of the body where you notice the breath most clearly. That might be at the nostrils, with the coolness of breathing in, warmth breathing out, sensations. Or it might be the chest area, where we feel sensations with the breath rising, falling. Or it may be the abdomen area, rising and falling of the abdomen area, associated with breathing. we'll just carry on for a few more minutes, noticing either the breath or the body or the posture as our meditation object.